This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The Off The Ball Rugby Roadshow is coming to your province. Join some of the biggest stars from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht as we travel round the country to preview the 2026-27 rugby season. Don't miss your chance to be there. Get your tickets now at offtheball.com/events.
The final whistle on Off The Ball with NoviBet. Up to 250% boost on all accas. Download and play today. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie.
So myself and Brian Kerr watch a brilliant game of football at the Hill Dickinson and Off The Ball Sunday this afternoon. It finished Everton 2, Manchester United 2. All four goals coming in what really was a scintillating second half. Brian Abrumo gave Manchester United the lead inside 65 seconds of that second period. It did look like they were cruising towards the 3 points, but Everton got their equaliser. Brilliant strike from Tyree George. United went down the other end, Brian, and got what we thought was the winning goal through Benjamin Sesko, but then pretty much the last kick of the game. A scorcher of an effort from the debutant for Everton today, Ainsley Maitland-Niles. 2-2 it finished. Fair result overall?
I think so, Dave. I thought both teams had spells in the game where they were in the they were in charge of the game. Generally Manchester United were the better team in the first half and in the earlier part of the second half, but Everton came on strong to chase the goal and get the equaliser. I thought they probably just about did enough to get that, but once Manchester United got the lead so late, I thought it'd be enough for them to hold out. But in fairness to Everton, they showed a bit of guts and character about themselves, and there was a never say die spirit about them in terms of chasing a second equaliser, and they got it very late as it was. But a brilliant finish by Maitland-Niles. What a way to make your debut coming on for Everton and stick that goal in and keep them unbeaten start the season after a lot of speculation that things mightn't go too well for them, particularly so after the closing the transfer window and losing some key players and not getting covered in for Barry centre forward, not getting Balogun and all the, you know, the media reports that said that Everton had such a bad window. When you look at the team today, it was very steady performance. And how would the managers feel about it? I think David Moyes is very relieved and Michael Carrick would be very annoyed.
Yeah, Carrick, he looked ashen-faced when the equaliser went in from Ainsley Maitland-Niles. United panicking really in the last 60 seconds, some scuffed clearance, some experienced players maybe making some poor decisions. Look, in the final transfer window that Ruben Amorim presided over, they seemed to perform surgery on their attacking third. They brought in Benjamin Sesko, they brought in Matthias Cunha, they brought in Brian Abrumo. It reaped dividends last season. They all scored some big goals. This time around, it looked like it was the midfield that was the priority. Belieb has been brought in, obviously not yet fit to take his place in the team. Andre Santos brought in from Chelsea, Yuri Tielemans from Aston Villa. And yet it's at the back that they have made no additions. They conceded 50 Premier League goals last season. We're 3 goals into the new season. They're averaging a concession of 2 goals a game, and there was a lot of the similar frailties at play there today.
Yeah, although they'd done well against Ipswich, I said before the game to John Duggan that Ipswich had a lot of chances in the game. Manchester United won a convincing scoreline, but it was 5-2, and Ipswich probably made 3 or 4 other clear-cut chances in the game. But I look at the goalkeeper today, and when he came in, it looked like he was a much steadier goalkeeper than what they'd had before, and that he was a bit of a cure for a problem for them. He didn't do very well today. It wasn't many moments in the game where he was over involved, but in a couple of moments that he was, he didn't look convincing, or he didn't look like a fella that was going to instill a lot of confidence. He was poor in the goal. Luke Shaw, in fairness, is the one who a lot of speculation that needed cover for him, and that they haven't dealt with that position. And he had majority of the game, he did quite well. You could look at the first goal for Everton, Tariq George's goal, and say he might have got there a bit quicker. But I think the goalkeeper was more at fault than that. The Leeds was out injured. What other cover have they got for the centre half positions? Dallow, I thought, played quite well in the game today, particularly in getting into advanced positions and making some very good runs into the box. And then the 1v1s initially against Grealish, he did all right. Against Tariq George, he did very well with the help of Mbeumo. But later on, he struggled, I thought. And, you know, obviously it's an area where Manchester United supporters are concerned about, that they need better cover and they need better players. And today wasn't good enough. Would the Leeds make an awful lot of difference to the centre back positions? I don't know. But the partnership with Maguire and Martinez isn't good enough for them. I think against the best teams in the league, it won't be good enough.
And Champions League teams that'll be coming up in weeks to come.
Yeah, their options are slim enough.
Yeah, De Ligt obviously still has yet to play for Michael Carrick. He's been out of the team since November. So when it comes to them taking steps forward from Carrick's first season in charge, which was obviously a shortened season, is there anything that's obvious to you to suggest that they have taken a step forward?
Well, I think a lot of the progress they made last year was on kind of very sensible decisions by the manager in terms of restoring Maynard, I think, to the team in the centre midfield, and kind of saying, you know, this lad is good enough and has something a bit special about him, and not being so rigid in his formation in terms of saying, well, we always have to play with three at the back and there's the formation and we play this system and the players have to adapt to it, and if the players aren't good enough to adapt it, they're out the door.
And that Maynard decision obviously having a major knock-on effect, i.e. Bruno Fernandes gets to be played in his
right
position.
Yeah, and you know, I think Michael Carrick is much more pragmatic about that, and he's going to have to bring that pragmatism to the season. Now, you mentioned the Champions League games, where they'll be now in a situation where on a regular basis they're going to have two big games in the week, whereas last year when he came in he didn't have to deal with that. It was straightforward, get ready for the league game every weekend and get points from them. He did that very well. So I think there's going to be a bigger test for the squad now, and there's probably not the quality there. I don't see a depth in quality down through to the substitutes list that you're saying. Right, they've got really good players to put on, but they have a few players still to come back. Diallo was another one who wasn't involved today. I think we'll give him a little bit. Whether he's not going to make a massive difference to defence. Most of his games have been in attacking positions or as a wing back under Amorim. So, you know, it remains to be seen how it goes for them, but I wouldn't be over optimistic that they've got the depth in the squad to cure the problems they have at the moment, and they've got to wait in the next window. A lot of games are going to be played before then.
Yeah, it looked like it was a generous enough opening three fixtures against two promoted sides in the side that finished 13th in the Premier League last season, and they've emerged from there with a defeat, a win and a draw. So 4 points from nine, not great. Just one more quick word on Everton. It's been a tough week for them. David Moyes likes being the underdog. He's always the underdog, apart from that spell when he was actually in the technical area at Manchester United. So it was the sort of finish to the week that he desperately needed, do you think? It'll kind of steal them for what's to come in the weeks to come?
Yeah, I think they've had a very good start to the season, getting 4 points from two games.
Palace 5 points.
But before today, yeah. The win and the draw, I thought that was a good start, and then there was a lot of negativity. They won the League Cup game at Preston as well, one of his former clubs. But I think that was a real... And then the negativity kind of seemed to rise significantly when the transfer window finished, and they didn't do anything significant, and they lost so many players, and you know, with Seamus Coleman going, Patterson going from the right back position, and Beto as well, and Doi. So today, I think, had they lost today, there would have been a lot increasing negativity around them and around the ownership and the lack of ambition maybe of the ownership. So to when you pull something out of the game like that, it kind of calms everything down, and I think they would feel that it was a good week for them and a decent result to get a point against Manchester United. How they're going to deal with the rest of the season, again, of course, it remains to be seen, but it is a boost to be unbeaten after three games, given that they haven't been playing any of the promoted sides.
Okay, well, we got an absolutely brilliant game with Seth and Brian today. Brian, great having you with us. Finished Everton 2, United 2. On they go to week 4 of the Premier League season.
The final whistle on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Up to 250% boost on all accas. Download and play today. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie.
Off the Ball Rugby Roadshow is coming to your province. Join some of the biggest stars from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht as we travel round the country to preview the 2026-27 rugby season. Don't miss your chance to be there. Get your tickets now at offtheball.com/events.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.